Well, good morning. We are continuing in our Vineyard sermon series. I'm excited. This is easily probably my top favorite sermon series. If it's not my number one, it's in my top five. And if it's not my top five, it's in my top like 200. So it's there. I wonder how many sermon series I've had over the years. Patty, can you count them up? Let me just kidding. Vineyard sermon series. This is a sermon series looking illustratively at a vineyard and how it parallels to a believer's life. There's some very specific parallels of a vineyard's growth patterns that a believer has to have also. And I think it's no coincidence that Jesus started off his ministry with a miracle of water to wine and then kept talking about abiding in him and comparing us like a vineyard. It's really unique. It's really profound. I want to read the scripture where Jesus is talking, the core scripture that this sermon series is based around. John chapter 15, 9 through 13 says this: "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." In the first 3 years of a vineyard, they have two critical steps they have to complete, or else the vinegar will cease to exist. Vineyard. Did I say vinegar? Vineyard. I don't know why I said vinegar. Two critical steps. One we talked about last week. The root system must be in the ground. The first 3 years of a vineyard, the root system is developing. It's connecting. It's soaking up all the nutrients and sending it to the branches. That has to happen in a vineyard. If not, it'll wither up and die. Likewise, with a Christian believer, if we are not rooted in Christ, we will wither up. We will enter dry season after dry season, and we will not flourish in our lives. Second most critical step, and it's so overlooked. You know, if we all took a wild guess of what the most critical aspect beyond the root system in a vineyard, I don't think most of us would get it. I wouldn't have guessed it before my research. Do you know the first 3 years, it is imperative that the branches intertwine with each other? Everyone's like, what? No, that is the first 3 years. If this does not happen, if the branches aren't intertwining, they cannot support the fruit to come and they will snap off and die. The branches must intertwine. It's really interesting. I was reading all these blogs and articles just trying to get knowledge and information on how a vineyard functions, and every single one talks about the intertwining branches. See, as the root system digs deep and the nutrients come, the branches expand, and their only purpose and goal at that moment, at the very beginning aspect of its life, is to reach out and grasp on so it can support what's going to be growing. That's the only goal and agenda the first 3 years a branch has. Do you know, in ancient times, we're talking thousands of years ago when Jesus was on this planet, do you know how the vines used to grow? They used to grow up, and then the farm, or vine dresser, farmer, gardener, however you want to call him, the vine would grow up next to a tree, and each day it would slowly grow out and grow up, and the gardener would make sure that the interlocking branches would lock with each other so they could support the fruit together. But do you know, in today's day and age, they have all these different wires that go across. Have you ever seen a vineyard? You have all the wires that go across the support system like that. It's all these foreign objects that have been put in to support the branches. They don't need to rely on each other anymore. Just let that soak in. Same with the North American church. We have all these podcasts, all these things that are foreign objects really to the health of a believer so that we can try and support our fruitfulness on our own. But it doesn't really work. It's crazy. For thousands of years, the only way a vineyard could succeed and grow is if the branches were intertwined together to support the fruit together. Did you know this is wild? We're going to go more into this next week. But did you know when branches intertwine, they get so intertwined that if one is lacking in nutrients, did you know somehow the branch can transfer nutrients from one plant to the other to sustain the growth and fruit? It's wild. It is so critical that the branches are intertwined for the survival of that plant. It's critical. If the first 3 years that doesn't happen, that vineyard is doomed. There is no chance of it. It won't succeed, because how can it? The fruit will grow, it'll crack, it'll die. It's really interesting when you start paralleling that to a believer's life. It really kind of opens up some stuff. The first most critical aspect of your believer life is you're connected to Jesus, who is the vine, and we are the branches. The second most critical aspect of a vineyard compared to us as a believer is that we're connected to each other. You know what's kind of interesting? What's the greatest two commandments? Love your God with all your heart. Love your people. Do you think that's a coincidence? The guy would say, you just need two things. And then he goes on to talk about the vineyard that just needs two things in the beginning stages. You need God and you need people. You cannot do it on your own. You can't. You need community. Today's message is entitled Connecting to Community. This is the beginning stages of the vineyard. We talked about connecting to Jesus last week, but today we have to talk about connecting to people. Point number one, it's entitled Lack of Community Symptoms. So how do you tell if you're not connected to community? Well, you don't get it. I'm in a church. I sit down. I take a seat each week. Are you connected to community? Well, let's find out. Lack of community symptoms. A, inconsistent. Are you inconsistent? Are you stable? Do you go through waves in life where you're just up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next? This is a symptom of lack of community. When you're not technically intertwined and connected to where someone is building you up and you're building them up. It's a symptom. It's saying, are we connected so much so where we're together doing life together weekly, not just on Sundays, but through the week too? Because if we're not in this community aspect, I could be isolated and alone and no one would ever know. Because I can put a smile on my face for an hour and then get back in my car and drive away. But when you're connected in community, people will notice. Symptom, the lack of community is inconsistent. Some days you're there, some days you're not. Sometimes you're helpful, sometimes you're not. You live this back and forth life. That's an example. That's a symptom of not being in community. Inconsistency. I'm not giving you the symptoms so you can point out something and be like, ha-ha, I knew it. You're not in community. No, this is for your own heart check, okay? We don't want to start looking at other people's lives until we can look at the mirror. Inconsistent. B, lack of community symptoms, isolated. These are all I's, isolated. This isn't just I'm sitting by myself in my bedroom pondering life. This is also You're sitting inside of a coffee shop. You're sitting inside of your church. You're sitting surrounded by people, but really you're alone in your head. You're isolated from everything else. And oftentimes it's because we all have these gates and fences because we're vulnerable on the inside and we don't want people to connect because we'd have to expose those areas to other people, and that's uncomfortable. And that's why we get isolated. Isolation is a symptom of lack of community. It's because I have these hurts in my life, and if I have to go through them one more time, saying them out loud, that's going to hurt. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Duh. It hurts the vineyard when the vines have to interlock together. And they get so connected, they start sharing nutrients. It's a sore part, but it builds the strength up of the vineyard so exponentially. Likewise with us, we need to be vulnerable. I'm not just saying, you know, show up and go, here's where I'm hurting, everyone. That's not what this is talking about. This is, let's do life together, and let's talk throughout the week. Can we be BFFs? That's this kind of thing. And C, impounded. Impounded. Yes, that's correct. Impounded. Because I need an I word. Impounded. Why? Because a lack of community symptoms is all about I. It's not someone else, it's you. When you're frustrated that no one else is reaching out, that's on your shoulders. You can take the initiative. I really try to get all eyes in here. Impounded. Impounded. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever had something impounded? Oh, it's the worst. Let me just walk you through this. If you've never experienced the joy of impounding, having something impounded, you leave your car somewhere you shouldn't, and then sometime later, when you need it, you show up and it ain't there. Some of you guys are laughing because you've experienced this, but let's think on that for a second. You leave your car somewhere you shouldn't, and when you need it, it's not there anymore. So what in our lives, our believer life, have we left somewhere that we shouldn't have left and abandon it, and then when we actually need it, we show up and it ain't there anymore? Let's get into this illustration a little bit more. Impounded. It's the worst. See, when we're lacking community, and we're all alone, there's something so important in our life that we need. But when we're isolated, we stop using it. And we finally need to use it because we come across another human being. We don't know how, and we don't know where it is. It's our purpose and identity. Because when we're so isolated, we're not using our identity. When we're so alone, we're not using our purpose. Because our purpose is only connected when it's more than one person. God didn't put you on this earth with a purpose of one. He didn't raise a person to go live by themselves in Antarctica, building themselves up in the faith to talk to penguins. God gave us a purpose and identity to be connected with other human beings in community. Your purpose and identity will be impounded when you ain't using it. You know what's interesting? I looked up the definition of impounded. The ownership is temporarily seized. The enemy is after seizing your purpose away. Oh, he loves it. Because you misplaced it, and you stopped using it, and he took it away, and he distracted you all the live long day. Impounding is so annoying, because not only is it hard to get there, because they're holding your car. You have to literally rely on someone else to get you to where you need to go to get your car back. And then, if you don't got the money for it, because it costs money to get back out, it's a sacrifice. You have to rely on another person to say, can you help me get this? And I'll start paying you back. it's just like purpose. It's embarrassing. When you start connecting to people, sometimes it's embarrassing because you're like, you know what? I'm not that great. I don't got it all together. But in community, let's grow. Let's grow on this. Our purpose gets impounded when we lack community. I got to move off that one. Have you ever been to an impound lot? You got some cars that are freshly in there, some cars that have been there for a while. I wonder if that's how sometimes God sees our purpose. Some of us just got misguided a little bit because we just fell out of community by depression or whatever. But some of us have been missing our purpose and identity for years, all covered in dust. Community gains your purpose back. Number two. Benefits of community. We talked about symptoms. Let's talk about benefits. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. I was Bible studying this last week and read this scripture. And it was so funny because I was like, that's literally the scriptures in next week's message. I was laughing about it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Get that imagery, that vine imagery, being knit together of branches intertwining, being knit together in love and obtaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Benefits of community. First aspect in that scripture, A, encouraged, that their hearts may be encouraged. When you are in community, you are encouraged. When you're outside of community, the best image example ever, it's kind of like a toilet, just swirling down. Start thinking negative thoughts, start spinning down. Just horrible, atrocious, just negativity. Everything just is going bad in the world. You gain the Eeyore effect. Well, my life is bad. Community, your hearts will be encouraged. Be in community. Be in community. Be loved. Going back to Colossians, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. In community, you will be loved, but you have a responsibility to love other people in that community too. It's not one-sided. You have that responsibility. What's that old saying? Community, it's not a privilege, it's a responsibility. It's not a privilege that other people love on you. It's a responsibility that you love on others. C, gain assurance. Going back to scripture, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and obtaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. See, you gain assurance. That's kind of like the oddball in the group, right? It's like, okay, I get the love, I get encouraged, but I gain assurance? So, I youth pastored for quite a while, and the difference between youth ministry and all ministry, I guess, if you call it, is in youth ministry, kids will tell you to your face what they're thinking. All ministry, people think it, they might not say it because they've been around a while. I remember being a youth pastor and one of the top questions or top few questions you always hear is, well, I just don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if this God thing is real. I don't know if this is accurate. I just don't, you know, everyone else is doing all these other things. They don't really know. And I would venture to guess maybe some of us today are dealing with assurance and if this whole thing is real. Did you know the benefits of community? God says you gain assurance in knowing that this whole thing, faith, heaven, God, Jesus Christ dying and raising from the grave, you gain assurance that it's real. How so? That doesn't make, how do I gain assurance? because God's working in all of our lives and he'll start doing miraculous things. They might not be the showstopper, huge, mega things. They might be the little tiny things, the nuances that you come across, the tiny testimonies that God is doing small things. It's in those things when they're shared in community that your faith rises and you gain assurance. But you only get those if you're in communication within your community. Or else you're just kind of winging it and you're just floating by. Are you experiencing the stories of people in community around you? I mean, just in the last few weeks, my wife and I mean, we're pastors at this church and people get to share us and bless tiny stories of how God is impacting their world. And we just sit back and we're laughing and just so excited. Because we're built up by this assurance. Are you connected into community to where you're hearing assurance and being built up and your faith is strengthened and all these things are happening? That's a benefit of community. Find someone to talk to. If you have something that God did in your life, I almost want to say, my mom would always say, like, how dare you? She would always say, how dare you do, you know? But how dare you keep that to yourself? God is moving, and we need to hear those testimonies. Share them with someone. If God does something even seemingly small where you're like, well, I don't know, this happened. Someone else is going to go, what? God moved. He's real. It's not Santa Claus. He's a God, a living God. God above all other gods. You gain assurance. So 3, connecting to community. We got symptoms of not being in a community. We got benefits of being in a community. But 3, connecting to community. How do we connect? What's kind of funny is I don't think this would have ever been a sermon prior to technology. I really don't. I don't think this was ever a sermon or talked about being in community back in Jesus' times. I think the only thing ever said was, leave that wicked, crazy community and join this community. That's pretty much the extent, because people understood what community means and how to connect. What it means to talk, what it means to do life, what it means to encourage and build up. But you know what? We need to know how to connect to community. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. This scripture gives beginning steps of connecting into community. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, ouch, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Side note, the day approaching is when Jesus comes back. That's what's being implied here. The finish line, if you will. Whether you see Jesus come down or you pass away. The day. It's the final stop. It's saying, get into community, this is how you do it, before you join the eternal forever community. A, encouraged to love. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love. The first part of connecting to community is you taking action to love on someone else. It has been handed, the baton is handed to you. Do you know how many children inside of youth ministry would say this? Well, no one invited me to do blah, blah, blah. Well, no one called me up to, no one did this, no one. But you can do that. Well, I mean, but everyone, no. It's not about everyone else. It's about you connecting to community. The first step is, how are you going to love on someone? First step to community. If you see someone, you see them walking up, be like, you know what? I'm going to go tell them I love them. I'm going to go tell them this about them. that I see this in their life, I'm going, and it starts off by saying, you know what's interesting? It doesn't just say, do this. It says, start considering how to do it. Because if it's on your mind, you will naturally do it all the time. How can I love on this person? How can I speak encouragement to this person? How can I do this? Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love. How can I love on this person more? Getting into community is starting that way. How can I do that? Just a side note. Let me just talk about misconceptions of pastors. I'm not placed on this planet to be a pastor that represents a cruise director. I'm not here for your entertainment and connecting you to all the little different things in the community. That is not my goal. That is not my agenda. I'm here to pastor you. Your job is to get into community and live this life as a Christian. B, encourage to serve. I like how in Hebrews it throws out a two-parter. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Deeds meaning serving. Getting into community, it starts by serving, that dreaded S word. Serving. Serving. How can I serve? You know when you drive by, what's that fast food place by Winco? They always... Chick-fil-A. How may I serve you today? How may I serve you? Would we have that heart? How can I better serve my fellow community people? How can I serve this community? That's one of the greatest ways to get into community, to connect. Figure out how you can serve and how you can help. Rather than, how come no one's helping me? How come no one's serving me? How come blah, blah, blah? Just move past that, please. We don't have enough time on this planet for you to wait to find someone that's gonna serve you on whatever needs you need, okay? That's Jesus' job. Identify a way how you can start serving people. You know, I noticed that your car is always dirty. Can I wash your car? I don't know, just think of different ways, practical ways. Sir, yes. Jesus loves you. How about, yeah, serving. How can you serve? Because when you serve someone, all of a sudden their mind is opened up towards this person likes me and this person loves me. And that's the beginning steps of connecting and intertwining. It's the beginning steps of the vineyard in bringing the branches together. So when you start getting more and more intertwined, your lives will be connected. And you start getting the benefits of community. Identify how to serve people. Great way to start, serve inside the church. Please. C, encouraged to faithfulness. Going back to the scripture. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, not giving up in meeting together. That's what it's about. Encouraged to faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's going back to that consistency, that stability. It's going back to saying, just a side note, have you ever done Christmas or Thanksgiving or kind of like a holiday together with like family members or friends or anything like that, where it's like more than just yourself, like some people come in? Have you ever noticed sometimes there's one person in the group that, you know, you don't really assign them a heavy duty cooking item? You know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, oh, this person's coming. Go ahead and make, beans. Bring a pie. You know, it's like the low-end stuff because you know you can't rely on them. You can't rely. You can't trust on them because they're not consistent, because they're not faithfully doing community together. Connecting to community is about being consistent and faithful. Can people rely on you in community? Can people rely on what you bring to the table? Can people trust on you? That's what this is about. Connecting to community is showing yourself as faithful. Showing yourself that when I say what I'm going to do, I do it. When I say I'm gonna be here, I'll be here. When I blah, 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 I'll do blah, blah, blah. Because you're showing yourself as faithful and trusting in community. And people in the back of their mind, no matter what, will say, that person I can trust. I can trust that person with my hurt. I can trust that person with my heart. I can trust that person. And people need people that they can trust. People need people that they can trust. That's why the scripture is saying how to connect to community is be faithful. You know, one last side note. I've shared this before, but in the Old Testament, the word faith doesn't exist. It doesn't. David's face was like, no, you can look it up. The word faith isn't in the Old Testament. I promise you it's not. The word faithful is all over the Old Testament because there is no word for people just believing without doing. That didn't exist in Hebrew, the language that the Old Testament was written in. Is that wild to think? They didn't even need to define it because no one had an issue with it. Every person understood, if I have faith and belief, I go to action and people can trust me. It wasn't even an issue. Our language has lots of words for those. But I'm already on a rabbit trail and I can't go further on that. Faith, your faith. Are you faithful to what you believe in? And can people trust you? Because that's how you connect to community. Being trustworthy. That's what it's about. Let's pray.